This is John Florida's Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Max Hatt and Etta Glass.
I used to sleep by the furnace, sipping hot air. I used to dream I was naked at the top of the stair. Well, now I sail sub-zero, invisible moon west. See the king wear my strings, no one says anything. Well, I was telling a friend a story, sure made me blush. But she said something about a user whose mailbox is flush. So I went picking a fight with the mailman. I had to get tough. Comes a point, find your teeth stuck in deep. Yet you tore, ringling. You had my heart on a string. Don't think it didn't mean a thing. Now I can't hear a thing but wind crushing right through my heavy fling. When I first saw you, you were gliding down on the Disco leader like a vision of a hovering dove. Your heart as sweet as sunrise, your mind like a vice. Wish I pulled many strings back when we were a thing.
This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome back to the program Max Hatt and Etta Glass. Great to see you guys.
Good to see you, John.
Good to see you.
We should say and clarify for our listeners that when I say welcome back, that you were on the program before in another incarnation, one that frequently still comes in the form of Rio, but now performing as Max Hatt and Etta Glass. The most recent project, and very recent as we are doing this interview, is called Ocean of Birds. I think where I wanted to start this conversation off was kind of taking up where we left off, which was, I'm trying to remember how long ago it was. It's been a number of years ago.
Yeah, 5 years ago.
That we had Rio on the show, and that was a wonderful project, great stuff. I remember you guys being on 11th and Grand on Montana PBS. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly I'm reading stuff that includes Lincoln Center, Mountain Stage, Sundance Film Festival, and .. produced by Pat, is it Sansone?
Or Sansone.
Sansone, mm-hmm. of Wilco.
Right.
So something had to happen in between there. So let's kind of maybe go back to where we left off with you guys and just talk a little bit about the journey that's happened since then.
We've been working on our original music for quite a long time, but it's the kind of music that you kind of have to play in listening rooms, so we weren't able to play it out much. But then we submitted it to the Mountain Stage New Song Contest, And we got into the finals, and then we went to Lincoln Center, New York City, to play in the final showcase and round, and then we won. So, and that brought us a bunch of performance opportunities, like playing on Sundance and playing on NPR Mountain Stage, which we're going to do next year. And also we got to record this album in Echo Mountain Studios in Asheville, North Carolina, with Pat Sansone of Wilco. And it was an amazing experience. We got to bring Clipper Anderson out to play on that album, and we've been playing some shows with him. And he's from Polson and is a top player in Seattle that we really admire.
And he's been on the program in featuring his own music.
I had all these solo guitar arrangements around and things that were really written for jazz trios. I'm a big fan of Pat Metheny. And Ed would hear these songs and really dig them, and I said, you know, they'd be just much more accessible. You know, I mean, and reach a larger audience if you wrote some, and she's a writer and writes short stories and novels, and like, you know, write some lyrics for these. And so when she did that, finally, after a lot of begging.
Yeah, I never really wanted to do it because I really like them as solo guitar pieces. They're really beautiful. I mean, that really, for me, preserves the mystery of everything.
So a year ago, we were doing a tour, the same tour, basically, through the Crown of the Continent and out of Seattle with Clipper. On the way back, we found out that we were the regional finalists. And we're living in Santa Fe now, so we actually submitted in the Southwestern Conference in Austin, included Texas and whatnot. So, yeah, and it's an international thing, you know, and it was really just great to go to Lincoln Center. I always wanted to do a gig in New York. I didn't think the first one would be at Lincoln Center.
Yeah,
that's not a bad debut.
Not bad.
And so we stand before your eyes, sweat like wheat from side to side. I was baptized in the Madison. I love to sing those hymns, slipping light through assembly hall, flying in our seats. Now need to steal looks, no need to keep a life of snug. Far in the hours when people sleep, we press signs into their wheat. Circle poems phoning home, spill it out there, saw it all. Summit ground with their knees, a children inside, all you women hold tight blinds. All our friends were questioned, and me, I had no girl back then. So by nightfall, it all came that night came.
while I kneel down to weed. Yes, I made those circle signs, but I was asking of what wine, trying to give you back something. So we stand before your eyes, sway like wheat from side to side. I was baptized in the mass. I love to sing those hymns.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with Max Hatt and Etta Glass. I wanted to talk about just a lot of the quotes in your artist statement, and I found this really compelling, and I would really encourage listeners to go to maxhattataglass.com and read the artist statement. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful, in and of itself, even if you go and you don't listen to the music, you know, just go and read it. The description and the prose is really beautiful. I love this line. We want to write about a world both intimate and vast, about little people on great plains. And I thought that really summed up a lot of what's going on musically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Etta?
Well, you're the music person.
Yeah, well, music,
no,
I mean, she's musically.
Lyrically.
The combination of what's going on.
Well, I mean, lyrically, I mean, I'm often writing lyrics about people in vast landscapes, so it's literal. But, I mean, that really is inspired by the pieces themselves. They're very cinematic. I often am imagining a camera panning, and there's a grandeur to them. But there's also this real. They feel very intimate as well. Just very, and everything we play is pretty quiet, pretty mm-hmm. Conversational level. So that's kind of the little people part.
There's very much characters in the song.
Very much so.
Definitely.
Yeah.
To me, that seems to bring a listener in a little closer. Because you're telling some people, you're telling stories.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, I don't really like to write lyrics that are confessional. You hear so much confessional stuff right now that I think it's kind of a little fresher for people to hear about someone else.
There's another thing that we've talked a little bit about is we're really interested in exploring the interface between the mythic West, mm-hmm. as it's been mm-hmm. portrayed in, High Noon or Shane, and
Shame.
What it's really like to live mm-hmm. here, And I think She Runaway does that. Wanted, this one of the songs we did.
Yeah, Wanted has a lot of movie images.
Last night mm-hmm. is definitely a mixture of those things, those images. And
you mentioned She Runaway, and I have to talk about this song. And I don't. In a way, there was a part of me that wanted to delve into the lyrics and say, "Well, what's this about?" And then there's another part of me that says, "No, I don't want to do that. I want to retain for my ears that mystery." But the combination of music and lyric with this song, I keep coming back to the term art song. It reminds me, as I told someone last night, it's like, okay, that's like Schubert, Gershwin,
yeah.
Paul Simon, I would toss in there as,
right.
like the archetypal,
Dances
right?
with Wolves.
Yeah. Oh, please, no.
I would
stop
no,
right there.
I wouldn't say that.
That's what everybody always says.
A Little Big Man.
A Little Big Man.
The novel.
Definitely A Little Big
not
Man.
The movie.
Yeah.
Well, that
the
is
novel.
Interesting. That's a whole other show we could do on cinema and music and so forth. But maybe without giving up too much, just talk about how that tune came together, because it just is a remarkable piece of music, I think.
That's a long, melodic narrative. It's got lots of parts and goes through lots of keys. It doesn't really, it kind of just sounds like a folk song, really, but it's got that in the background. I would be interested in what Etta has to say about what that song's about. I would assume it's going to be something that she's going to give you, like the plot summary. But what it's about for me, and you can do that, but what it's about for me is this, somebody, we're all born somewhere, and we don't often feel like that's our home. And we end up choosing to be somewhere else. And that's kind of a universal thing. And this particular story, what's it about?
That's a nice interpretation. I like that interpretation.
You always reject that interpretation.
I kind of feel like, we're talking about Game of Thrones or something. I'm like, well, don't spoilers.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. The plot is that there's two pioneer girls, and one of them is stolen by the Blackfeet, and the other one stays behind. And then later, the one who is stolen is recovered, and she's very changed, and she's very shy, and she won't talk to anyone. And eventually she runs away and goes back to the Blackfeet. Hmm. So, and that's a story that, you know, we've heard in the history a number of times. I mean, Mary Jemison out, and I think that's in actually New England, but she had a similar captive story. She went back. Little Big Man, the fictional novel, is very much like that. But, you know, the whole phenomenon of trying to find home and trying to figure out what that is and what that means, and can you find it in a new land that, you know, maybe you don't have any right to, but you find yourself there, and, you know, your parents brought you there, and, you know, what can you do? But so it's just kind of all about that and longing. And, you know, I mean, Montana is kind of a place where a lot of people have come from, you know, fleeing from, you know, the Civil War or fleeing from various things, and there's always a, not only do you have the vastness of the prairie that is just so longing inducing anyway, but I mean, there's just, it's a land of immigrants and then also people who were displaced wrongfully, you know, so
that's
just
the story of America.
That's the story of America.
That's the story of the West, of American West, you know.
As you explain this, I'm seeing the Dances with Wolves reference, not to just the superficial part of it, but the story of Stands with Fist, the character.
Just for the record, I've only seen that dubbed in Spanish, so I couldn't have been too influenced, but.
Head out west across the plain. God gave us. I had a sis, a girl with red gold hair, painted men, rusty guns came down in yellow. She said, I am the wind.
We've talked about the songwriting process. I also want to talk about interpretation, because that's another thing you guys do, is you'll take tunes like A Taste of Honey, Wichita Lineman, right. And I Love Her, and turn them on their head, mm-hmm. and definitely bring those tunes, those familiar tunes, to your world, or your world to those tunes.
Right.
Talk about how that process works for you guys.
Again, those were all originally done as solo guitar arrangements. And I love all the songs you mentioned. And it's like, do I want to do Taste of Honey in a jazz version like you've heard it 1,000 times? It just doesn't, it really doesn't catch or hold my attention. So I was always looking for a new way to do it. And I got a baritone guitar. And, you know, you can play more open strings. And suddenly it became a little more open and ambient, and same thing with Wichita Lineman. I just think that's one of the greatest songs ever, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, and just found played around till I found an arrangement that had a certain kind of openness, ethereal, dreamy, cinematic quality to it. Certain kinds of chord voicings evoke those things, you mm-hmm. know. And what else? Same thing with the Beatles. I love the Beatles, but I never really wanted to play any Beatles song. Like, I mean, how can you top the Beatles, you know? Mm. So just to find some way that I can bring my own personality to those things, and, you know, and not be, you know, sucked up by their personalities, which are so strong. Mm-hmm. And some songs just kind of presented themselves. I can't really, you know, if you said, Max, come up with a version of Heart of Gold,
mm-hmm.
boy, I'd be really in trouble, you know? Like, that's such a strong song. I really, you know, I mean, nothing would come to mind, you know.
That's really interesting to hear you say that, because to me, I would think if someone said, hey, who do you think could come up with a version of Heart of Gold
yeah.
that could be, you know, really unique, I would say, well, yeah, you might want to talk to Max Hat.
Yeah, you know, but the thing about pop music like that people kind of want to hear it the same way. They kind of mm-hmm. want to hear Neil Young do it, or you have, mm-hmm. you know, I think some songs allow a little bit more, I don't know.
And Neil Young, I mean, he's just such a soul.
Big influence on us.
Yeah, too. We call our stuff, you know, João Gilberto meets Neil Young.
That's a good description, actually. Yeah.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main. Searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in Wyoming. I can hear you through the wire and the Wichita line. Still on the high
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with Max Hatt and Etta Glass. One final bit from your artist statement. You talked about this music as an experiment. Talk about the experiment and where you see this experiment going. Because it seems to be going pretty good right now. It seems to be going in some really interesting places for you guys.
Yeah, it's been a good year.
Well, we kind of wrote that artist statement a long time ago. I forgot it was on there, actually. And we were kind of writing it before we had gotten any attention whatsoever. So that was the big experiment, which is still ongoing. But the question is, you know, whether we can really make this sophisticated music be really resonate in a direct way rather than having to think about it. You know, whether with the voice and the lyrics and the melodicism of it that Max brings to it, if we can have all that really resonate in spite of the fact that most of the music going on is simpler, and that's kind of what's popular right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the experiment. Mm-hmm. So it's going better than expected.
We've had really great responses in rooms where people are listening.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to listen to, mm-hmm. if you're so inclined.
Yeah. MaxHattEtaGlass.com is the name of the website. I'm going to spell that out for our listeners. MaxHattEdaGlass.
Perfect.
.com. Thanks so much for making time to come back to the show and visit with us again here on Musician Spotlight. It's been a pleasure talking to you guys.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much.
I know I need a small vacation, but it don't look like rain. And if it snows, that stretch down south won't ever stand the strain. And I need you more than want you, and I want you for all time. The Wichita line man is still in the
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Max Hatt and Etta Glass. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org, and as well through Facebook. Our program is now available as a downloadable podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.